Hey, y'all, just a quick heads up. The episode you're about to listen to is 8 to 10 years old. Now, these episodes were intended to be evergreen, and I still believe there's a lot of good information in these early episodes, but I do want to let you know that some of my ideas have evolved over time. Times have changed since we made these episodes, and ultimately, I'd like to think I've grown a lot as an artist and a human, and that these don't necessarily represent my best work or the best of the podcast. If you're new around here, I suggest starting with the most recent episode, or at least go back to around 300 and move forward from there. Enjoy the episode.
Yo, if I've got some pep to bring to you live, here's one thing. You can listen to this podcast at illustrationage.com/creative pep talk. Today, what we're going to talk about is creative block. Maybe that's the best title. I don't know. Let's see how it goes. You know, a few weeks ago, I was feeling that creative block in my work, in my, the stuff I was making, and it was driving me insane. It was, you know, I could tell, you know, when you're in creative block and you try to make work, you just get this sense that you know what you're making is not your best work, and that makes you want to work even less. But when you're under a deadline, you have to do it anyway. And just this disgusting feeling. And, you know, I heard something that really totally brought me out of it. You know, I listened to Radiolab and This American Life, and to be honest, I can't remember which one had this story on it. I think it was Radiolab. And it was about this idea or this phenomenon where these pitchers in Major League Baseball, these phenomenal pitchers, somehow start to go from being the best to the worst. Like, they just forget how to pitch the ball at all. And they just slowly degrade, or kind of quickly degrade, into not being able to throw the ball at all properly, in a professional level. And it's really quite frightful if you look at it and you think these people who are at the top of their game, something happens on a psychological level that they literally cannot break through, and it breaks down their career. And if you think about that in a creative level, that's frightening to think this thing that I've always been able to do, this thing that I can do on a high level, somehow, some way, psychologically, I could lock up and just not be able to do it anymore. And that's kind of what creative block is. It's the same sort of thing. In that episode, and I heard about this somewhere else too, they kind of explain what happens. So Andre Agassi, who I'm told is a famous tennis player. I don't know anything about sports, but I've heard of him. You know, I think he's on those Perrier commercials, or back in the day he was. And he had a similar thing where he was at the top of his game, you know, breaking records, winning tons of championships, and for some reason he just starts to get worse. And his coach, Tony Robbins, who you've probably heard of, big motivational speaker guy, literally big guy, he tells him, imagine yourself having that perfect hit on the ball. Imagine yourself hitting the ball in this perfect way. Just go to that place. Close your eyes, go to that place. Are you thinking about hitting the ball in that moment? And they say no. He says, no, I'm not thinking about it. It's just, I just do it. And this is the same thing they tell these baseball players. And there's been some pretty significant turnarounds with these people that psychologically lock up. And the idea is self-consciousness. Is that when you approach the blank page, you approach your work with this conscious knowledge of yourself and of your critics and of your hopes and dreams and all that stuff. You know, I can't reference the quote directly, but I heard recently someone saying that there's a famous artist that's saying when you go to the page, you got to let go of all extreme emotions. And I would say you got to let go of all extreme thoughts and wants and desires. You can't go to the page with this extreme intentionality. Because if you're drawing and you're thinking about drawing and you're thinking about drawing and you're worried about drawing and you're concerned about all these different concerns, you know, early on, you need to be studying, thinking, practicing, and thinking about what does it take to make good work and trying new things. But the reason why, you know, if I go out and play basketball and I try this and I say, I'm going to shoot a shot, and I'm going to not think about shooting a shot because that's how the good shots are done. I'm going to shoot the shot, and I'm going to do air ball. Why? Because I don't have the muscle memory. The reason why Andre Agassi shouldn't be thinking about his I don't know what they call it. I don't know. Stroke? I think that's a golf thing. The reason why he doesn't think about hitting the tennis ball with the racket in that moment isn't because that's the secret to great tennis playing. It's because he's put in the work. You know, I just heard, I think it was Joe Frazier, who's a boxer. I don't know why I know all these sports stories. They're the only ones that I know. But he was saying that that the work that you put in, you know, the early morning hours, the dark early morning hours, the training and the running and the exercise, you know, in the day, if you didn't put that work in the light, you'll be found out as a fraud. You'll be found out as someone who can't, you know, in the daylight, it's shown what you've done in the dark. And it's like when you go to do that piece of work, you get that job. If you haven't been putting in the time in the sketchbook, if you haven't been practicing those muscles, then when you get into that moment and you get into that time where it's time to make the work, if you just try to not think about making stuff and you just let it flow onto the page, unless you've trained your muscle memory, unless you've practiced, tapping into your subconscious isn't actually going to help. But if you've been drawing for years, if you've been thinking about this and working at it, eventually the goal is to become the master of this thing and to be able to say, when I come to the page, when I reach for the pen and I put it on the paper, I don't think about making good work anymore. Now it's just time for it to happen. Now it's just time to let whatever's inside come out. And I'm not going to judge it as I'm doing it, because if I'm judging it as I'm doing it, that hesitation is going to show up on the page and it's going to be worse for it. And so I guess today what I was thinking of passing on is, when you go make your work today, you know, don't let that hesitation ruin the work. You know, one of the things I think about is you get these bands who they have these, like, I hate this term, happy accidents. It's ridiculous, but it's the only one I know. It's this idea where you have this band and they do something and it gives them this original sound early on. And then they take that original sound and they turn it into a craft, which is great. You need to do that. But then they just use that craft over and over and over, and every album just gets more and more precise using this, they're taking this accident that gave them this unique thing and turning it into this fine science. And that's fine. That's great. But if you refuse to have those happy accidents again, nobody is going to be surprised.
I really needed to rehaul my website. I was talking to some web people, looking around, and I got intrigued by Squarespace's new Fluid Engine, partially because it just sounds cool, but also because it allows you to drag and resize and layer up anything you can imagine. I dove in, rebuilt my site. It's the most me site that I've ever had. I just absolutely love it. Launched it. Got such a great response. Some industry illustration and designy peers even reached out and was like, hey, who coded this thing, man? I'm like, y'all, I did it by myself. No coding with Squarespace's new Fluid Engine. I told him, like, you should go check it out. You're going to be surprised with what you can do. And I built this thing before Squarespace reached out to sponsor the show. So I was like, boom, easy peasy. I was going to tell you about this new site. Anyway, go check it out, AnnieJPizza.com, if you want to see what I did with it. If you want to try it yourself, make a site that's totally you, where you can build a portfolio, sell content and courses and all kinds of other stuff, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain with promo code PEPTALK, all one word, all uppercase. This episode is supported by In the Making, an original podcast brought to you by Adobe Express, the all-in-one content creation app included in your Creative Cloud membership. If you are trying to boost the YouTube, TikTok, Reels content side of what you're doing, one episode of In the Making that I think will be super useful to you is their episode with John Yushai. I think John's method for including his audience in the process is really inspiring. And if you want to hear about that and more about leveling up your game in the creator economy, just search In the Making in your podcast player to listen. Many thanks to In the Making and Adobe Express for their support.
No one's going to be, you're not going to take anybody surprise. And if you don't take anybody by surprise, you can't delight them. You can't help them enjoy. They're not going to enjoy your work if they expect it. You know, being a human, almost everything about being human, what makes us different, quantum physicists say and astrophysicists say that what makes us different is our ability to expect something. And we love the unexpected, especially in art. And if you're not surprising yourself, you're not going to surprise your audience. And I think, yes, you need to have a craft. You're going to be a commercial artist. You've got to develop a craft. But you can't develop it so tightly and so formulaic that you're never doing that experimentation process, that process that's not self-conscious, that process where you're tapping into something deeper. And you know me, you know I believe in that deeper underlying side of life, and you can call it a happy accident, but what if it's just tapping into the deeper levels of the world and the deeper streams of our conscious minds? And, you know, when we tap into that stuff, maybe we're taking it from another dimension. Maybe we're taking it from something else. You know, that inspiration, that divine flair that comes into art, you know, who knows where it comes from? Maybe it's the most practical, obvious thing in the world. I don't care. But what I do care about is figuring out how do you tap into that thing that surprises you so you can surprise your audience. All right, that's all I've got for today. It's just a short peppy talk. These are these quick fire things that I wanted to put out on Mondays, Tuesdays, early week, just to get things rolling until I get to my bigger talks around Thursday at the end of the week. I hope this has pepped you up, psyched you up. Don't forget, you can listen to it at illustrationage.com/creative pep talk. You can listen to my website, andy-j-miller.com/podcast. You can find it on iTunes. And you know what? I just want to say, you guys have been flooding the reviews with these amazing, hilarious reviews that are awesome, and they made my week, and you guys are awesome. I super appreciate it. I'm told that that's how other people find it on iTunes. Like, the more reviews, the more it spreads and all that jazz. So you guys are awesome. Thank you. Go read those iTunes reviews. There's some ridiculous ones. You know who you are, people. Thank you. Thanks. Until next week, or until later this week, rather, stay pepped up.